We continue our learning Ilunishmas David ben Menachem Ruchem Yaakov and Pinchas Aliyah. We are in Ksuvos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Zay. Now, in the previous Mishnah, remember we spoke about two women who were taken captive, and we have Edim that they were taken captive. One says, "But yes, I was taken captive, I'm Tahora." The other says, "No, yeah, I was taken captive and I'm Tahora. I was not defiled." We said they're not Nemanis because they don't have a Peshas or Peshahitir. But if they are made one on the other, they testify one on the other, each one says, my friend is Tahora, they are Nemanos, and they are allowed to marry a Kohen. And that's because when it comes to a Shavuya, we are makil to believe Eid Echad, even an Isha, and that is because we assume, as we mentioned, that when it comes to a Shavuya, maybe she makes herself disgusting, and maybe she was not defiled at all, she was not violated. And as we are normally, we normally allow another aid. We allow an Isha, we allow an Eved. So it's the same thing. We will allow one woman to testify for the other. And that is even this case where maybe we should be concerned for what we call gomlin. Maybe they're conspiring one with the other. I'll testify for you, you'll testify for me. Mishnah says they are ne'amanos. One could be made one on the other, and we don't have to be concerned about gomlin. That was the previous Mishnah. And once again, when it comes to Shvuya, there's only a suffix that she was violated, so we have the right to be lenient. We also learned in the first parak, Mishnayos Ches through Yod, we spoke about women whose chazaka of cheskas kashrus to marry a kohen has been weakened. We also mentioned the idea of male asu biyuchsin, where because of yichus, marrying kohen, we have to be even more strict. And if you remember there, we spoke about the case where this girl was violated, and by the spring, and we required rov anshe ha'ir and rov siya, most of the people in the city being kosher men, and most of the people who are traveling into the city because there's yom hashuk. So we needed a double rov in order to be machsher this anusa, this girl, to marry a kohen. So these are all based on the fact that we want to be strict when it comes to the laws of yichus, to guard the yichus of the Tara and the Kiddusha of Kohanim. Now, our Mishnah is going to discuss when we have two men who are testifying upon themselves that they are a Kohen. So this is not a case of Shvuya, but here the Tanaim are discussing whether we could be what we call Ma'ale L'Kahuna Al Pider Eid Echad. Meaning if one aid is testifying about a person as a Kohen, can we now assume that that person has the status of a Kohen? And the Gemara explains that even the Tana of our Mishnah holds that when it comes to Yuchsin, in order to marry allow this man to marry an Isha Miucheses, one aid is not believed to tell me that this person has a Cheskas Kohen. So the discussion in our Mishnah, whether a person has the status of a Kohen or not, based on one aid, is only whether we can use that information to feed that person Truma. So says the Mishnah, V'chein Shnei Anashim, who are coming and testifying upon themselves that they are Kohanim, and as we said, not in terms of Yichus, we're not going to rely on it, but to rely on it regarding Truma. So Ze'omer Kohen Ani, V'Ze'omer Kohen Ani, each one testifies only about himself, he's a Kohen. They don't testify one on the other. Einon and Ne'emanim, they're not believed for us to give them Truma. But if each one is testifying one on the other, Hare Elu Ne'emanim, they're believed in order for us to feed them Truma. Regarding Truma, there we do follow the rule of Malin L'Kahuna Al Pi Eid Echad. We will elevate someone to the status of a Kohen regarding eating Truma. If it's only one aid, we're not worried about Gomlin. But once again, this is not about Yichus. Comes Perek Beis Mishnah Ches now, where Rabbi Yehuda has a dissenting opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Malin Lakuna Al Pi Eid Echad. Rabbi Yehuda comes to disagree with the Tana Kama, the previous the Mishnah, and says that if an Eid Echad is not believed to give someone a Cheskas Kohen, even in a case, by the way, where there's no concern of Gomlin, let's say there's no concern of conspiring one or the other, but certainly where they are. here where one is testifying for the other, where there is a chashash gomlim, so then we're afraid. People said, this Kohen said, you testify for me, I'll testify for you. And this way, based on a testimony, they'll let us eat truma. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we're not allowed to elevate a person to a status of a Kohen based on one aid. And that's what we said, even where there's no gomlim, and certainly in our case where there is gomlim, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tana Kama. Why is Rabbi Yehuda strict with respect to this idea? Okay, we said it's only for regarding eating truma, not regarding yichus. So therein lies the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tana Kama. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, malin mi truma lo yuchsin. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if people see someone eating truma, and therefore they believe the person has a cheskas kohen, so then you have the right then to testify about them for yichus purposes as well, and assume he's a kohen for yichus and allow him to marry an isha miyuchesses, a woman who has proper lineage as well. And therefore, since Rabbi Yehuda believes that if you see someone eating truma, you can consider them had to have the status of a kohen, not only regarding truma, but regarding yichus, that's why we have to be strict regarding truma as well, and not feed someone truma unless we know for sure that they're a kohen. Tana of the previous mishnah holds that no, ain malin mi truma liyuchsin. Just because we see someone eating truma doesn't mean we give them the status of a kohen regarding yuchsin, and therefore we have the right to be lenient where one is testifying for the other and give them truma, because we're not going to then elevate them to the level of yichus as a status of a kohen as well. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Emasai. So Rabbi Elazar comes to say the following. When do we say that you're not allowed to elevate someone to kahuna through one aid? That's been, now this is Rabbi Yehuda, remember. Tana Kama says you can. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ein malin l'kun al pi ed echad." So Rabbi Elazar says, "When do I hold?" Meaning, I don't 100% agree with Rabbi Yehuda. I agree that sometimes you're not letting malin l'kun al pi ed echad, but that's emasai when b'makom sheyesh orim, where people are coming to contest the fact that he's kosher or kosher kohen. People come in can say that he's a pasul, he's disqualified for kahuna. That's when we have said that, well, one aid is not going to be enough against people who are coming to disqualify him, who are contesting the fact that maybe challenging the fact that he's a Kohen and questioning, and maybe he's not. Aval b'makom she'ein orerin, but if there are no orerim, and there's no concern of gomlim either, then malin l'kun al pi ed echad. Then Rabbi Elazar says you can elevate someone to kahuna status al pi ed echad. So as opposed to the Tana Kama, who seemed from the previous mishnah, who seemed to say we're permitted to be male lakuna al pi ed echad regarding feeding truma. So that seemed to be true. Even he didn't say anything about people, even if people were contesting. And as we said, even if there's a concern of gomlim, we're not worried about gomlim. But Rabbi Elazar says no. You're not allowed to be male lakuna al pi ed echad if there are people contesting. Or there's a concern of gomlim. So, but now Rabbi Elazar obviously, therefore, is disagreeing with the previous mishnah, because if they're made one on the other, since there's a concern of gomlim, they wouldn't be believed, which is against the Tana Kama of the previous mishnah. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Askan. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Askan. Malin lekuna al pi aid echad. You're permitted to elevate someone to kuna through one aid. Now, what exactly is the difference between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar? Both are saying you're allowed to be ma'ala l'kun al pi ed echad, but Rabbi Elazar says, well, except where there are orerim. Shimon Gamliel didn't say anything about that, but there's also a Tana Kama of the previous mishnah. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says like this, that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, even if there are orerim, this is where he's lenient against Rabbi Elazar, even if there are orerim, we are ma'ala l'kuhuna al pi ed echad to feed him truma. Aye, but isn't that the opinion of the Tana Kama? So the Gemara explains that this is the difference between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel from our Mishnah. Take the following case. A person, you have someone whose father, we know his father has a chazakah of being a Kohen. Okay, so that's the way it is. So you have a You have someone, you have Baruch, let's say. Baruch is the son of Yehoshua. Yehoshua is a Kohen. So Yehoshua the Kohen has Baruch. So I know Yehoshua is a Kohen. And now I hear there's a call, there's a rumor that Baruch, the son of Yehoshua the Kohen, is a Ben Gerusha. Is actually the son that Yehoshua the Kohen had married a Gerusha divorcee, and now he becomes the Chalal. So that's a rumor going around that Baruch is really Pasul the Kohuna. And then what happens? One aide walks in into court and says, no, in fact, Baruch is a Kosher Kohen. No problem at all. You can ignore the kol, you can ignore the rumor. And that's the rule, that one aide can nullify the rumor. So we're back to where we started, and our friend Baruch, the son of Yehoshua the Kohen, Baruch is a Kosher Kohen. Then two Edom come into court and say, no, he's a Ben Gerusha. No, in fact, Yehoshua the father married a Gerusha, married a divorced woman, and is disqualified. Now our Baruch was really a Chalal all along. So now what do we have? So now we're back. Now we have to consider him a Chalal, that he's not a Kasher Kohen. So far, what do we have? We had the Chazakah that Yehoshua the father is a Kohen, and therefore Baruch is a Kohen. Then we had a rumor that Baruch is a Ben Gerusha. Then we had one aide who said, no, he's not. And then we have two aide who say, no, he is a Ben Gerusha. He's a Pasul Kohen. And now one aide comes and says, no, he's a Kohen Kosher. Aha. So this is the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion, the end of the Mishnah, that what? When he says, Malin l'kuhuna al pi eid echad. What he means by that line is that last aid, that last witness, we're able to join his testimony with the first witness who said he's a Kasher Kohen. And now what do I have? I have two who are testifying that he's a Ben Gerusha, who came together, and two are testifying as a Kohen Kasher, where I'm adding the two, the one from the beginning, one from the end, and therefore we can now return him to the original Chazakah that he, Baruch, is a Kasher Kohen, the son of Yehoshua, and that's what Gamliel means when he says Malin l'kuhuna al pi eid echad. That's a leniency. We can join the two Edim that testified at separate times that he's a Kasher Kohen. But Rabbi Elazar holds, when Rabbi Elazar says, no, when do we say Malin l'kuhuna al pi eid echad when there are no Orim? But if there are Orim people who contest, we have a problem. That what he basically is saying is that the Edis is not Mitztarif. I can't join one aid who comes later with the first aid that came earlier, and therefore, what do I have? I have two Edim who say that he's a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, and therefore we can't be Ma'ale this person to a Kohen because we have Edim that are Orim, unless the two Edim come together, that he's a Kohen Kasher. That's the way the Gemara explains what's happening in this Mishnah in Ksuvos on Chavav and Midbeis.